How do you say this? Our Father, we ask and receive revelations that is found in the written word. We receive instructions, corrections, and reproof that is found in the written word. We behold Christ from the written word as he sees us in himself. He is glorified, verified. There's no error in this atmosphere. There's only clarity in our minds as your word is taught and received. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Are you to Bibles?
Yes.
Okay, let's open our Bibles today to I don't know how many people want to open now. Let me catch some people. Let's open to where? Let's open to John chapter 16.
John 16.
We are discussing on the topic, the place of the Holy Ghost in Bible study. What is the place of the Holy Ghost? The place of the Holy Spirit in Bible study.
You know, the lack of what the scripture is all about, and the reason, the lack of what, why, and how scripture should be interpreted is what gives birth to error.
The lack of what, why, and how scriptures should be interpreted is what begets error. Some people, like me years back, think that there is something the Holy Ghost is showing us beyond the written word. I was like that. Hallelujah. And it gives us an error. I listen to you. Because some people think there is something beyond the written word that the Holy Ghost is showing us. Because we don't know the reason why scripture is. We don't know how scripture should be interpreted or what scripture is for. And this is not because fundamentals of having a good Bible study background. You'll be amazed that several people carry their Bibles and you think they are reading the Bible. But whereas, what they are in search of, or why they are holding their Bible, is for the wrong reason. Because they don't really know what the scripture is all about. I've seen somebody that I saw with Bible one day, around Block City. The person is long retired. And from afar, I saw the person with his Bible. And I felt, man, this old man, a bit aging, and he was supposed to be a master officer, middle floor. Those in C3, you know who I'm talking about. I thought, man, I respect this man. Because from afar, I saw the man with his Bible outside, with eyeglass. And I was like, this man is studying his word. For close to 31 hours, the man was on his Bible. I felt the man was. But when I got close, I just walked past. I thought I was reading out Psalms. For 31 hours, every of my enemy, the Lord is my enemy, I shall not want. Every of my enemy in this place. And I was surprised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are in church. And when you are in church, you respect the gathering of saints. Your phone must not ring. That should be the first thing you do when you come to church. The moment I step into that gate, I put my phone off. You can't call me and get through to me. Don't do that. Stop being named among you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, some people read their Bible for a wrong reason. Some people have their Bibles with them reading because they don't want arrow to hit them. Why there are some who think the Holy Spirit needs to show me something beyond what is written? And those are wrong. This is what gives birth to errors.
I remember there's this slogan we used to say. Listen, let me tell you.
I used to have it years back. I usually say to my friends, Tunde and then my lovely brother who has passed on, Brother Jeremiah.
I'll tell him, say, we have the Holy Ghost in us. We have the Holy Spirit. Those of you who know now, don't use the Holy Ghost, yes, but. So we say, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And since we have the Holy Spirit, we have the master of the scriptures in us. So therefore, the Holy Ghost is the master of the scriptures. He will show you beyond the written word. Did you get that? He will show you. So when we get the scriptures to study, we begin to look out for mysteries that are not, for what is not mysterious. So, proper Bible study becomes very important for a growing believer, for a believer who wants to grow in the things of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We are in John chapter 16, like I said, right? Let's see something from John chapter 16. So what is the Holy Ghost? What is the place of the Holy Ghost in Bible interpretation? John 16. If you are there, I'm going to read from verse 11. From verse 11 it says, okay, sorry, verse 12. He says, he's speaking to them and then he now tells them. Okay, I'll read some verses that he just picked up from there. Look at verse 5. He says, but now I go away to him who sent me. Remember, you must follow that flow, right? Right? We know, understand that this flow started from chapter 13. Right? It started from chapter 13. So that's when he started teaching them up onto chapter 16. We'll get to understand this better off in when we look at communion. There are some things along this line that will become clearer when you bring in John's account and Matthew's account together. Hallelujah. As we got the communion table. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, it says, look at verse 5. It says, but now I go away to him who sent me. He who sent me will be where? Indwelling. Right? Chapter 14, we understand that we've done this study before. Right? Chapter 14 says, I go to the Father. The going to his Father is what? The indwelling. Right?
Yes.
We know that, right? It's settled. When he says, I go to the Father, in verse 18 said, I will come to you. So the going to the Father is the indwelling in the believer, right?
Yes.
Now he said, I go to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? And because I say this thing to you, your heart is filled with sorrow. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's not over. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Look at verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Look at verse 12. He now says to them, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Nevertheless, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, now, for the sake of our study today, we can spend hours on this verse. On this verse, hallelujah. So when he says, I have many things to say to you, remember I said you must understand the flow, right? Right? Aha. We must understand the flow. And when he said, I have many things to say to you, he has been talking about what? The subject matter is what? Is the resurrection. Right? Because from chapter 13, when he began to teach them, 13, 14, 15, he kept discussing the resurrection. Right? So he's telling you the background or the subject of discussion in these passages was the resurrection. So when he said, I have many things to say, so the many things he has to say to them that they were not able to bear, listen, it's concerning the resurrection, concerning the same subject matter. It's not about the mysteries of the fifth heavens or the mysteries of the tenth heavens.
No.
Or the 30th dimension of faith.
No.
Do you understand? It's about the same subject matter. I have several things to show you. Do you understand? So that several things will be concerning the resurrection. That's why I said you should have been, you would have listened to our previous messages before now, right? To know that what the subject of discussion is what the resurrection, at the resurrection, right? The vine and the branch, chapter 15. We taught that from chapter 15, right? We've had series of teaching on John 14, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 12, 14. John 18, 23. So, to know that the subject of discussion is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, which is what the resurrection. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So, the many things he has to say is the explanation of the resurrection to them. Hallelujah. Then in verse 13, Enan says, however, when the Spirit of truth shall come, he will guide you into all truth. Now that word truth is the word aletheia. Aletheia. Now the word aletheia is a word used for integrity. Used for integrity most of the times in the scriptures. Integrity. Now he said, when the Spirit of truth shall come, is a word that also implies reality. So when the truth, when the Spirit of this integrity, which integrity? God's faithfulness, that he will raise up. Do you understand me? God's faithfulness concerning the resurrection. Do you understand me? See, when the Spirit of truth, meaning is the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the Spirit of that reality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say shall come. If he will guide you into all this truth. Which truth? Concerning the resurrection. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? Now that word guide into all truth. That word guide is the Greek word hodegio. Hodegio. H-O-D-E-G-E-O. Hodegio. A word you will find in Luke chapter 6 verse 39. Luke 6 39. Used for to direct someone. He said, can the blind lead the blind? Luke 6, verse 39. If you're there, I'll read. He says, and Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, can the blind lead the blind? That's the word lead. Will they not both fall into the ditch? It's used for direction, that word guide. Also, you find it in Act of Apostles, chapter 8, verse 31. Act of Apostles, chapter 8, verse 31. He says, and he said, how can I, unless that is the Ethiopian Enoch and Philip. Now Philip asked him, understanding that what I read as in verse 30. And in verse 31 he replied, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Now in Acts 8 verse 31 is used for Bible study. Explanation of scripture. So that word hodegio is used for what? Explanation of scripture. So when he says, when the Spirit of truth shall come, he will guide into all truth, he's talking about the explanation of scriptures in this reality. What is the reality? The resurrection. Do you understand me? Concerning, do you understand me? I remember those of us that were around for School of the Word yesterday, where we discussed the promised land, we said what? We said, all God has been speaking about from Genesis 1 is concerning what? The resurrection, right? Was that what we said? Right? We said, what God spoke about from the scriptures, from Genesis, has been concerning what? The resurrection. That was what we said, right? So, the resurrection has been the subject of discussion from Genesis. Hallelujah. So, meaning, the Spirit of truth is going to guide from where? Genesis. Did you get that? Say, when the Spirit of truth shall come, he will guide you into all truth. You know, today's, this meeting is a teaching meeting, so you need to listen well. Listen very well. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Your attention is needed, very important, because this is like Bible study. How to target? Glory to God. So is the word used for how scriptures, or I mean, is the word, that word hodegio is used for explanation of scripture, meaning the Spirit of truth will guide you into the reality of what? The resurrection. From where? The scriptures, right? Because scriptures is in view. Right? From Acts 8:31, scripture is in view, explanation is in view. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, let's look at, again, something else to look at is, how does Jesus Or how did Jesus use the word spirit in this context from Acts, from John chapter 13 up until now? Look at John 14. Just go back a bit. John 14 from verse 16. Look at verse 16. He says, and I will pray the Father, and I will pray. I say that word pray is eratio, which we can say, I will go to the Father, right? Right? I will go to the Father, or pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter or helper, that he may abide with you forever. He said, the Spirit of truth. He calls me again, what? The Spirit of this truth, right? Whom the world cannot receive, because they neither sees him nor know him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Look at how Jesus uses this word. He just spoke about, I'll pray the Father, I'll give you another comforter, that he will abide with you. He said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Watch how Jesus uses words. Look at verse 19. A little while longer, and the world will not see me. Will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know, I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. What is Jesus doing? Look at verse 23. He said, Jesus answered to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. We just read Jesus saying one thing. One word, or saying one reality in different ways. Did you get that? It's the same reality. Now, Jesus will use the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Jesus will use the word Spirit. And he will not use it for a distinct person from himself. He will not use the Holy Spirit as a separate person from himself. No. The same way too, he spoke about the Father. He will not talk about the Father as a different entity from himself. Look at verses 10 into 11 of that John 14. Verses 11. He says, Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. You read verse 10, he says, have I been with you and you don't know, and you still say, show me the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So he did not create that room for distinctions, like you can start placing, this the Father is here. Jesus, no. So the same way he uses the Spirit, he doesn't use the Spirit as a distinct personality on its own. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus will use the word in verse 16, another comforter. He uses that word allos. Allos parakletos. Allos. He didn't use the word heteros. If you had said heteros, we will be looking out for someone else. That's the word for another. You have two words for another. One is allos, another one is heteros, most often using the scripture. Hallelujah. Do you get that? Now, he uses the word allos. When he used the word heteros, it means someone that is different. But he didn't say heteros parakletos, he said allos parakletos. Hallelujah. One who is the same as me. That's what he says. One who is the same as me. Then verse 17, he now says, he calls him the Spirit of truth, that he will dwell in you. Right? He said the Spirit of truth. He calls him the Spirit of truth. He will dwell in you. In verse 18, he now says what? He will come to you. I will come to you. Look at how he uses the Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 20 and 23, he says, uses the word, I and the Father will dwell in you. Did you see that? So he doesn't give room for distinction. Did you get that? So Jesus in teaching would use a third person pronoun to refer to his work. It's still his work. Hallelujah. Amen. But something, you employ another person. You use, I told you guys yesterday, I'm not English type. Hallelujah. So, amen. He will use another person pronoun. So you can put second, third, fourth, fifth. Hallelujah. Amen. He will use another person pronoun to describe his works. Did you get that? To describe what he will do. Hallelujah. That's what he just showed us here. The Spirit of truth, when he shall come. say he will be in you. I will come to you. I and my Father will dwell in you. So they are all his work. Did you get that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So back to that John 16, verse 12 to 13. So when he said, when the Spirit of truth shall come, he will guide you. He was speaking to his disciples. He didn't say he will guide the whole world. He said he will guide you. He was specific. Did you get that? He was specific concerning his audience. He said he will guide you into all truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that is specific to his audience. Who? The 12. Hallelujah.
Amen.
His disciples. So remember, who does the work? The work of Christ, right? Right? So when the Spirit of truth shall come, now he speaks of his word, resurrection, right? Now, the fulfillment of this at the resurrection in Luke 24, verse 25 into 27. Jesus came, met them. He said, he saw those guys on their way to Emmaus. And he said, oh fools and sloth, how to believe in all that the prophet has spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to suffer the sins and to enter into his glory, right? He said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, said the things concerning himself. Now, the things concerning himself, will it be the things concerning his resurrection? Will it be? Will it be the things concerning his resurrection? Perfect. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, concerning Christ will be concerning his resurrection. Paul will say in Romans chapter 1, he says, and verses 4, he says, declared to be the Son of God. That is the word horizo. We said that yesterday, which is to mark out. Right? To mark out, to be the Son of God. He said, by the resurrection from the dead. That means the vital part of the gospel is the resurrection from the dead. Did you get that? The resurrection from the dead. So, listen. So, the things concerning himself will be the things concerning his resurrection, right? And he started, and he taught them from what? Genesis to Malachi. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at verse 44. He said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses. He says, in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Did you see? There are many things I want to speak to you. Eh? Right? But how be it when the Spirit of truth shall come? He will guide you into all truth. So, the all truth is what we now find him do at the resurrection. He now taught them all through the scriptures for 40 days. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? So, when you hear the Spirit of truth, when he will come, he will guide you into all truth. It has been fulfilled in Luke 24, verses 25 to 27, 44 to 45. It has been fulfilled upon the resurrection. Jesus taught them 40 days, all things concerning himself from the scriptures. Because he said, I have... say how be when the Spirit of truth shall guide you into all truth, all this truth, and all this truth is referring to the truth concerning what he was teaching them, the resurrection from the scriptures. Did you get that? So that was what he did. He fulfilled it. Hallelujah. He fulfilled that word. Are you following me? Do you get that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what is the result? Look at verse 33. Say, didn't our heart burn within us? I mean verse 32. Say, didn't our heart burn within us? When he opened to us on the when he talked to us on the road and he opened the scriptures to us. Look at verse 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And they, do you understand? To comprehend means to is the word sunema. It means to bring to collect facts together. To bring facts together. So meaning they can all see the scriptures together.
So Jesus brought the scriptures together. That's the reason for the word diamenu. Diamenu means to cut through, to teach across scriptures. Do you understand it? So he taught from Genesis to Revelation, I mean Genesis to Malachi together. Hallelujah. And now they can now say, wow. So this is scriptures. Oh, scriptures spoke about Jesus. Did you get that? So it came alive. It brought everything together. Now they can comprehend the scriptures. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that word has been fulfilled. Glory to God. So a believer does not say, they let the Spirit of God come and show me. No. That if you are using that as a basis, then you are wrong because it hasn't fulfilled. Remember, he will guide you. Who are you? The people he was talking to. Do you understand me? So that is why contextual reading is important. Look at that, Luke 24. Very important in Bible study. You have to understand what is being spoken about. Look at Luke 24. Look at that verse 25. He calls them all fools and slow of heart to believe. You know, the King James, the New King James help us break it down. Say, oh foolish ones. No, that one looks nice. But the word used is there, oh fools. That's the real word. Oh fool. Hallelujah. Is the word anotos. Anotos. A-N-O-T-O-E-S. Anotos. Oh fools. And slow heart. That word anotos is from a compound word of alpha and noio. Alpha and noio. Now, noio is used for the mind. Noio is used for the mind. Noio is used for the mind. Alpha is negative. So when you hear anotos, it implies not to use the mind. Do you understand me? So Jesus said to them, oh fools. Remember, look at, you need to understand what is happening. Why he uses that word for them. Look at verse 21. From verse 20, that brother, what is his name again? Cleopas. Bro, Cleopas. They were having a conversation and Jesus joined them. Hallelujah. So he now asked them, what kind of conversation are you guys having? Look at verse 18. Cleopas answered. He said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? You know that slogan, huh? Are you a Jew? Are you a Jew in this land? You understand? Hallelujah. Are you a Jew? Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, this is the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet. Look at what they said. And listen, he had attended his meetings. So how people switch camps easily. Pia, pia. Hallelujah. Who was a prophet, mighty in deeds and words before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping. Meaning they switch camp. Did you see that? We were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Past. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company, he was part of his followers, but they are switching camps. Who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. They said they did not find his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angel who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But he, they did not see. And then he said. Because he had explained to them earlier on. In chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, we just read it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He has explained to them. When they asked for sign, he said, there shall no sign be given to you than that of what Jonah. Hallelujah. He has explained to them. And now look at what they are saying. And that's why he now says, oh fools. Meaning, you are not applying your mind to scriptures. Are you hearing it? Remember in John chapter 5, verse 45.
He said, if you had fasted like that, he said, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. There's no accuses you, even Moses. I mean, Moses in whom you trust. If you believe Moses, you would have believed before he wrote concerning me.
Hallelujah.
Moses wrote concerning me. Meaning, right from the writings of the prophets, there are writings concerning him. He made them see that. In John 5:39, he said, you search the scriptures. He said, then you think you have eternal life. But these are they. The scriptures testify of me. But you will not, but you're not willing to come to me. Do you understand me? Meaning, an in-depth study of the scriptures will even explain this to you. But he said, you did not apply your mind. Oh, fools. Did you get that? That word, agathos, you find it in Galatians chapter 3. Paul used it for the church at Galatia. Call them all fools. He said, having begun in the spirit, you are now being perfected in the flesh. See, you're not applying your mind. You've begun in the spirit. He told the church at Galatia, he said, I know there are those who trouble you, teroso, who trouble you. What? So they have got people who wanted to pervert the scriptures. And they are now being switched to the flesh. So he said, why? Were you born again by what? Glory to God. He called them all fools too in Galatians. If you read Romans chapter 14, verse 1, it is used for not to reason. That is the word I chose, not to reason, not to use your mind. Hallelujah. Romans 14, 1, not to apply the mind to what you do. So when he says, oh fools and slow of heart, he uses the word, they do not apply their mind to scriptures. So you get down that, you have to underline that. Because it will come shortly to us. He now calls them slow of heart. That is the explanation of that already. Slow of heart. That word slow is the word bradus or bradus. Bradoscardia. Slow of heart. It's the same thing. You are not to apply your mind. When you're not using your mind well, slow of heart. You're not using your mind well. You're not using your mind well. For he to tell them slow of heart, it shows that there's an attitude in Bible study that you must apply yourself to it. Do you understand me? That is an attitude to Bible study. Very important. It's an attitude to Bible study. You must apply yourself to Bible study. It calls for diligence. But it is slow of heart to believe. Meaning you didn't apply your heart well. So it calls for diligence. This is why Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He says, study to show thyself approved. He said, a workman I need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. That is the word, he used the word study. That is the word spodazo. It means to be diligent, eager, to be diligent in presenting Bible truth. Study to show thyself approved, to show. Hallelujah. That word to show thyself. That is the word used for how a scientist will present his thesis. Is it thesis now? No, I put anyone. His thesis. And knowing that it cannot be refuted or it cannot be, how do they put it? It cannot be slammed down. When you present your hypothesis or your thesis, how do you present my hypothesis? Your thesis, hypothesis, all of them. I'm not a science student. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you present your thesis now, this is my discovery, and I know that you cannot refute it. That is that word, to show thyself approved. Hallelujah. So he said, be diligent in presenting Bible truth. Hallelujah. So he calls for diligence. Bible study calls for diligence. It calls for eagerness. You must be eager. You must apply yourself to it. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? That's why people don't want to read their Bibles. It's in the midnight when they want to sleep. So
they are done with verse 1. When at the end of verse 2, the earth of the south form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. You know what I mean? Never is already taking light in your eyes. Okay? Just kite and put on your chest. Yeah, it says, I've applied my heart to it.
They're not different from a herbalist. You don't know. But that's what they are doing.
Some people do it a lot. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I don't want to say some things that happened a few days ago. So let's just continue.
Can we continue? Aha, let's continue.
I'll say it in years to come, but not now. Glory to God. So the instruction is to be diligent. That's the instruction. It said be diligent to present Bible truth. Be diligent in Bible study. So now, that the instruction is to be diligent. And this instruction is by the Holy Ghost. Hope you know that. Eh? The instruction to be diligent in Bible study. You know it's by the Holy Ghost. It's by the Holy Ghost. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I'll start from verse 16. Say from a child, from childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise.
We are some of us are journalists.
Able to make you wise unto salvation. Right. True faith which is in Christ Jesus. He now said all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Hallelujah. So the scriptures is given by the inspiration of God. So the scriptures is spirit inspired. So are you hearing me? So the scriptures is spirit inspired. If we say the scripture is spirit inspired, so that means when you read the scripture and it says, be diligent in Bible study. You know we just read it now, be diligent in Bible study. Do you hope you know we just read it? We just read it. Study to show thyself approved. It's diligence. Hallelujah. Now, when you read the diligence in Bible study from scriptures, is it spirit inspired? It is spirit inspired. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the scriptures is spirit inspired. So it will be unwise.
Because as people say, I want to study, now let me pray. Let me pray first before I study. You know, before we started this meeting, we prayed that we receive correction. So we are receiving correction. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many of you remember part two of growing spiritual growth, right? I said some things along this line there on the group chat.
Don't, if you've not read it, because it's long, some people will not read it. I will get to you. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you in this series.
If not today, next week, I will address your case.
You see, it's long. You know, depends when they see a post on you.
Before all, look at it.
Why did you just read more? You now click more. You click more again.
They'll just say.
So they'll not read. And then some people have begun to respect themselves.
But I see a lot with Pastor Shedden's post. It's longer than mine.
But I take my time to read it. I take my time. But when I want to read Pastor Shedden's post, I leave everything I'm doing and I read it. It's part of spiritual. It's part of training. I've not started posting anything long ago.
Oh my God.
You will read. Some people, what they do is just listen and they'll just click share and forget.
But I told myself I'm not a signpost. So I will not just share without reading. If you bless me first, now, am I a signpost?
Glory to God. Aha. So, it's too long, God. They'll just go to the end. But there was one that Pastor Shebu posted. I don't read it. I don't look at the comment. What the person commented? You just know it did not read. Well, it's not my page. So, we just move ahead. Hallelujah. So, make sure you read. When I post, read. At least I'm not posting on bigger platforms, I'm posting on our platform. Read. I've defined my audience. So read. Glory to God. Okay. So some people, when they want, when it's time for,
I've not come at you, I'm coming. I have a special place for those people that don't do that. Or that does that, rather.
Now, when it comes to Bible study, some people want to pray first. Oh God! Come and show me, show me, show me.
I invite your spirit now. I invite your spirit now to come and teach me the word. I invite your spirit. You know it's unwise. When what you are reading is spirit inspired. Are you hearing? We are receiving instructions. We are receiving corrections. Hallelujah. What you are reading is spirit inspired. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Let me do something I've not done in a long time. On the 6th of January 2019, as at about 10:49 a.m. About 10:49 a.m. on 6 Owe Street, Saint Community Church, Pastor Shegu said, and I quote.
Hallelujah. He says, and I quote, "You don't ask the Spirit of God to show you what is in the written word. You don't ask the Spirit of God to show you what is in the written word. Rather, you study the written word to know what the Spirit says." You don't ask the Spirit of God to show you what is in the written word. You study the written word to know what the Spirit says. Very important. So what is the place of prayer before study? There's no place. Just study. The Spirit is inspired. Oh God, we cancel every distraction of the devil. In and out, front and back, side and front. Okay, go back to Luke 24, 25 to 27.
Begin at Moses and all the prophets. All the prophets, take note of that word. Begin at Moses, verse 27, and all the prophets. All the prophets to me were Genesis to Malachi, right? Right? Okay. Time. So, begin at all the prophets. Begin at Moses and all the prophets, Genesis to Malachi. He expound. Damn, you've said that, right? Right? So Jesus will go through the scriptures. Jesus going through the scriptures, what does he show you? He shows that. Jesus going through the scriptures, what does he show you? When he said he went through the scripture, it means that Jesus read scripture. They just have to make them read scriptures. I hear me. Because for you to go through the scripture, meaning they will read the scriptures. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus ensured that scriptures is read. So before you begin to invite the Holy Spirit, it is already in you, but some people still invite him. Come, Holy Ghost, come. Holy Ghost, come. Holy Ghost, come. Abi? Okay. Is it Kobe? Yeah, I remember that yesterday. Into my heart. Glory to God. Can we come back? Glory to God. So before you begin to invite the Spirit of God, read the Bible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know why? One of the clearest teaching we have about Jesus is in Luke 24. Do you understand me? Clearest. How he taught from Genesis to Malachi. Do you understand me? Very important. So you read the scriptures. Read the Bible. When a preacher is preaching, when a pastor is preaching, and he's quoting a verse, please read it. Don't some people have now become lazy? I know technology is good, but we'll become much more lazy. We've never done it and we don't plan to do it. Hallelujah. We don't plan to do it. You now go to church and just be focusing on what do they call it?
Projector.
The scripture is there for you. So they are telling you not to come to church with Bible again. So even the pastor will just stand and say, the pastor will no longer read the Bible. He will not turn and say, yes, glory to God.
Some guy put it to Romans chapter 8, verse 20. Romans 8, verse 12. Oh, verse 11. Oh, that is it.
If the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he will give life to your mortal bodies. What is wrong with your mortal bodies? Do you have the Holy Ghost? If he lives in you, he will give life to your mortal bodies. And you just read that and you just stop. And you too, you now started running. Because they've made you see what you wanted to see. But if you have your Bible and they say open to Romans 8, verse 11. As they are in verse 11, you have read verse 9, 10, 11. You've read pretext, post-text, in-text, out-text. You are on the text.
You know that? Pastor Shekhu will say he heard this from Sam Adeyemi, and he said, when a man goes to church without a Bible, he is a candidate to be deceived. You know that?
Is a candidate. When you go to church without a Bible, you are a candidate ready to be deceived. You are a candidate ready to be deceived. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
They said, can you show us Philippians chapter 4?
If, wow, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Brothers and sisters, what is that target they are giving you in the office?
What is that target that they are giving you in your workplace? What is that thing to be for you that you are seeing? The Bible says you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Glory! And you begin to jump up and down.
Like a goat that just ran away from Christmas tree.
You are running up and down. But if you have just read the verse before, but Paul said, I know how to abound, I have to be at peace. I can do all these things. So these things is not my target in the office. It's not taking over my MD's office. It's not, you sleep in 3-3. It is what he said he can do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he calls for serious study. Hallelujah. But I remember saying one day, he went to a gathering and the pastor was preaching. Very easy. Just said, bring out your Isaac! You know what your Isaac is?
We bring the sacrifice.
Bring out your Isaac! Where is your Isaac? Where is that first fruit? Bring out your Isaac! That is candidate to be deceived.
And Pastor will say something that, you know, it's funny, but it's very important.
And they are using Mount Moriah. Bring your Isaac. But they forgot that Abraham went back with his Isaac. He didn't leave his Isaac inside the bone. Huh? He went back with his Isaac. So they were just very simple. As they are passing the bone to bring your Isaac, I will drop in and take it back. Did he receive him back? He received him back. Hallelujah. So that is why you need scripture. When you come to church, as I've quoted scriptures, you are supposed to look at it. You understand me? You look at it. Look at, before I'm done quoting, you have read before and after to understand what I'm saying, right? Or they take you to Hebrews. Say, no, sorry.
I mixed it up. Glory to God. That should be.
Let me just show you something. Just last. Hebrews, quickly. Hebrews 12. verse 29.
Projector, Sangha, can you put Hebrews 12, 29 for us? And they put it.
And you are not with your Bible, you are not reading. What is there? Just read verse 29 alone. Who called Femi?
Bro, Femi did not reach.
His only so gather laptops.
He has the gathering ability.
He will gather it and will not come online.
So let's leave passage. Let's leave.
So look at, let's read verse 29 together as though there is no pretext and post-text. Right? Read verse 29 together.
Did you see me?
Our God is a consuming fire.
We are going to call down the fire of God.
You see people say, yes, sir. Right? If you are already a candidate to be deceived. But if you read the pretext and the post-text, look at what's the post-text. What's the post-text? Let brotherly love continue. Remember Bible, the Bible, take this. Bible is not written in chapters. So it's not written in chapters or verses. The apostles, the prophet never knew that their words will be chapterized and verse-wise. Permit that grammar. Hallelujah. They have chapterized it. In fact, Paul's writing, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, Corinth, he never knew that they would call it the book of Corinthians. Gee, he just sent the letter. Are you listening to me? So it was now chapterized. So don't read the Bibles in chapters. We're having a study on Bibles. We're having a teaching on Bible study. So the Bible should not be read in chapters. So the moment you see this, it now says, let brotherly love continue. Then you now have to go back and study. Study and get to where you now discover that God's consuming fire is what? Bring about what? Brotherly love. Hallelujah. The fire of God consumes the flesh for us to walk in the Spirit. So brotherly love continuing is the walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So when you see that, say that God is a consuming fire, you don't jump and shout with them. You don't understand that it consumes the flesh, so we walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So therefore, you don't come to church without a Bible. You don't. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are born again since Jesus came. You are ancient of this when it comes to being born again, yet you don't have a Bible. Is your case not worse? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you must have a Bible. That is the first principle of Bible study. Have your Bible. Not the one your father used for wedding. Your Bible. Not the one when we open it, not say
in commensuration or the holy matrimony of retired MW pastors. You know that? You now have it.
It's my Bible. How is it your Bible, bro? Go buy Bible. You know, you will not say, this is my Bible. You cannot say it confidently. You know when we are singing, my Bible? Some people cannot say it though. Because it's not their own. Borrow post. You've borrowed it and borrowed and borrowed. So to your Bible. You see, anybody, if you look at some people, let me not talk too much. You know, we used to wrap Bibles that year. Hallelujah. So why are scriptures written?
Why are scriptures written? 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God.
Let's start from there. Let's quickly rush down to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. See, all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Hallelujah. Okay. So, the word inspiration of God. All scriptures are written. So, why are scriptures written, right? All scriptures are written by the inspiration of God. That is the word Theonistos. Theopneustos. Theonistos. Theopneustos. It's from a compound of theos and neustos. We will have the word pneuma. The word theos is used for God in Greek. Now, neustos is the word that implies breath or wind. Used in John 3 verse 8, the wind blows where it listed. And we hear this from thereof, and can't tell where it cometh or where it goeth. So is it that is born of the Spirit. So use the word blows. Right? To blow. To blow. Now it said, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God, meaning the breath of God, inspired by God. So we can say the scriptures are God inspired. Hebrews 1, 1 into 2. God, who at sundry times and various times and various manners spoke in time past through the prophet, through the prophets to the fathers, right? Or spoke in time past to the fathers through the prophets, has in this last day spoken to us in his Son. Hallelujah. So the prophet will be speaking what? Inspired. Prophet, prophetess, to speak, one who speaks inspired. Right? So the prophet will be speaking inspired. For them to be called prophet is because their words are inspired by God. Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter 1, 21. It says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, did you get that? Glory to God. So, they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, you need to acknowledge the fact that scriptures are God inspired. Scriptures are God inspired. Scriptures are the revelation of God to us. So why was scripture written? Because God wants himself to be known by man. That is why we say Genesis chapter 1 is not creation. It's not writing about creation of the world. No. It's God wanting to be known by man. So that's why I say in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Remember heaven and earth? Hallelujah. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It tells you the state of man. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God blew over the surface of the water. It shows you what God does. Convincing. Are you listening to me? Convincing the heart of man. Right? And God said, let there be light. That is the gospel. Do you understand that? So, from the beginning, God wants to be known by man. I mean, God wants himself to be known to man. Do you understand me? So, the scriptures is the revelation of God to me. The scriptures are written so that man will know God. So, it is God revealed to me. The scriptures reveals God to me. You know, that's what I would say. Yes, I know the scripture reveals God to me, but you know, the Holy Ghost needs to come and show you. How did you see? Jesus needs to come. The Holy Ghost needs to come. Calm down, bro. Calm down. You know, some people have issues. In fact, let me quote one. You are talking word. You are too later. Have you heard those kind of people before? You are too later. You know why I can say it like this? I do not say why I can say it like this, so we hear it later. Hallelujah. The later kill it, bro. Talk rema. You know that? Have you heard that before? Give not rema. Anything in the Romans chapter 4, verse. Bro. Have you heard that before? You are king of spirit, you are king of moral. Give us rema. Rema. You want to hear me rema? Say yes, sir. You are not listening.
That's your problem. Don't hear the drama. When he shall come.
Hey! You don't want to hear any other thing. You hear when he shall come. What you just heard was just keyboard and the big voice. When he shall come. Woo! Why are you going to come back? Give me the word. Yeah, but I said, bro, what you are saying is letter.
You know when the Holy Ghost comes, we begin to show you beyond the letter. Somebody
just said Kabaya, you see? You better get your children back. Hallelujah. You know, let me let you know something. How do you know the Holy Ghost? How do you know the Holy Ghost? Through the way, the scriptures. How do you know Jesus? So why are you running away from the scriptures? Do you understand? You know, and when they now tell you, the letter killeth. You know, some people will say, don't mind all those word guys. All those Pastor Smart and Pastor Shegu boys. Yes, no. Eh? They used to call Pastor Shegu Hagen boy. Maybe his name now is Shegu boy. We'll take it. Hallelujah. They don't mind all those Pastor Shegu boys. All they know is letter, letter, letter. The letter killeth! Please, can you bring up some man? Put 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You see? The letter killeth! For the spirit gives life. If you follow that, you are a candidate to be deceived. Read your verse before. When he says the letter killeth, don't join. That's why I say never in a seat. A good Bible student does not quote words when he has not read them in context. Never be found quoting scriptures you don't know in context. That is how you start. Are you hearing me? Even John 3:16, if you've not read it in context, don't quote it. The moment you begin to quote scriptures out of context, bro, I don't know what to say to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you just read back a bit, that scripture, what is it talking about when he said the letter killeth? He's talking about, he read from verse 1. He talk about what is written in the tablet of stones.
Hallelujah. Read down. He was talking about the covenant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Moses law that was written on tablet of stone because of the hardness of their heart. Did you understand?
Yes.
Aha. So don't just jump. Later key. No. We can't. Hallelujah. So even the scriptures reveal God to us, reveal the Spirit of God to us, reveal Jesus to us. You will not know anything about Christ outside the scriptures. Say, but sir, Jesus revealed God to us. We are in the scriptures. So know the scriptures. Did you get that? Aha. Glory to God.
Amen.
So you must understand that the scriptures is God speaking to you. So if you know that it's God speaking to you, therefore you can now say, we can now say, the primary way we are led by the Spirit of God is with the written word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are led by the written word. So therefore, that's how you should see the scriptures. Is God leading me? Wow. This study is becoming more prolonged than I expected. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're not done with today. Well, we'll take it next week. Okay. What is my role? In Bible study. We'll just look at this a bit and then we'll round up. And we'll pick it up from next week. Hallelujah. What is my role in Bible study? Matthew 19, from verse 1 to 4. From verse 4 to 6, sorry. Matthew 19. Before we get to read Matthew 19, there's something I just saw, something I kind of skipped.
The scriptures is called what? The scriptures is called God's Logos, right? Right? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and God is the Word, right? Right? The scriptures is called the Logos. In Hebrews 4:12, it said the Word of God is quick and active. That is the Logos of God.
So, what is the word Logos? Logos is implies an intention. It is seen as the body of truth, the conclusion of a message. So if the scriptures is God's Logos, if the scripture shows us God's intention, if it shows us God's plan, if it is the message of God, listen, if it is God's message, if it is God's truth revealed, therefore, it must be taken serious. Do you understand me? If the scripture is God's truth, shows you God's truth, tells you God's intention, God's plan, God's purpose, if the scripture is God's Logos, then you must take it serious. If it is God's inspired, it must not be handled anyhow. If it is inspired by God, you shouldn't handle it anyhow. You shouldn't just treat it anyhow. You shouldn't just look at it anyhow. You should handle it with diligence. In fact, the same way you have time of prayer, you would have time for study. You don't just study anyhow, because you want to know about God. Do you understand? So you see, it's like a classroom study. You know the way you prepare for exams? TDB, today break. How many did TDB? University, no TDB? Hallelujah. Today break. All through the night, everybody goes and we read. After my first year, I stopped doing TDB. You know, I stopped it. We will go to class and we will not read. We go and sleep. One day we went to class and somebody was just snoring. We went in the room. One day we were in class reading. Another day we were in class reading. Somebody just. I don't know, maybe they were chasing me from his room. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus! The whole class! I just said, oh God. And after you are done sleeping in class, you now come back to your hostel.
Your people are there, they slept well. Like a group of lecturers, you now come and continue to sleep.
Hallelujah. Mm. But you know the way people, but there are some serious people. You see them, they are going for TV, they are carrying aboniki.
Aboniki, have you seen people like that? Aboniki, they will rub it on their eyes. I've seen people.
Either I tried it. They did not tell me. I did not know where I now made this. I now went to use water. And clean aboniki. That night. When we will rub aboniki, they will not carry blankets. And not carry their lamp. They'll put lamp on top of the table, put blankets, cover themselves. We die here. And they say they are preparing for then they will say that if you laugh, somebody is distracting your pastor and you're laughing.
You should send him out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So people will cover themselves that they want to learn. But give them Bible. The sleep that their great-great-grandfather has controlled in the village will visit them that day.
Once they just hold it, verse 1 in the beginning was the daytime, hot sun. But do it now. I don't used to see in the afternoon. I went for evangelism one day, and I gave the person my Bible to read.
read. It was a long reading. Please to see the afternoon. Don't worry, we'll read together.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. So you must take it serious. Bible study. Take it serious. Fix the time. Minimum 1 hour.
Minimum 1 hour. Something happened one time. I read in school from 8 in the morning to 8 in the night. Read book. I did not stand up. What would you do? I don't do that. I sell a pack. We're passing. I just bought early in the morning, bought up at 20. We did not brush it. We were eating up and cook. We were eating. We die here. After I was done that night, and I told myself, I sat down. Have I sat down to read Bible like this? So I planned another day. I was going to read my Bible like that. And I did it. See, you just sit down and no phone, no. Thank God, those days, WhatsApp was not even working. Who knows WhatsApp? Tell us, no much WhatsApp. But then, who WhatsApp? When did I start doing WhatsApp? I can't even remember. I joined to go, when to go was already crashing, so there was no time for to go. Hallelujah. So we're just me, myself, and I. Glory to God. So, you know, those distractions are taken away. You can at least 1 hour per day, at least an hour in a day, study your Bible, because that's how you do God. You hear me? Read your Bible. You're a Christian and you cannot read your Bible. You say, I don't understand the demon that is holding me. Which demon is holding you? Bro, sister, learn to read your Bible. Say, sir, I cannot even read my novel. It's Bible novel. Read the Bible, John. Fix time, read your Bibles. You are reading Bible, you are praying, you are looking at the time. That's when the earth is slow. And everything in the earth are very slow. But you can watch your movies everywhere. Eh? When they give you Game of Thrones, oh my God, you finish season one in one day. Season one is 22 hours, you finish season one. But read Bible, 1 hour. On one verse, you will sleep and wake up. In fact, you will sleep, you dream of the verse and wake up. Look at yourself. And you say it's demon. It's not demon. It is yourself. You train yourself to study. Do you hear me? You know, we train ourselves to pray. Right? Right? So people, Pastor Wisdom, some people have not trained themselves to pray. So therefore, if you want to pray, this is just a simple way. If you want to pray, take away the wall clock. I'm telling you the truth. Take away the wall clock. Remove your wristwatch off your phone. It's time to pray. I like to train yourself. The same way when it comes to study. Tell yourself to throw away those things. Take away distractions. Anybody that wants to call in is an important call. I have a roommate that usually said that. He's a medical student. He said if it's an important call, you call me, switch off, you call again. Do you understand? If it's an important call, you will call back. Did you get that? But you are studying the Bible. You are what's up? And you come and drop it back. Hey, lovely fishers. And you are studying. And you want to know God. And yet, somebody just got born again 2 days or 3 weeks ago, and the way he's releasing the word, the way he's teaching the scripture, you're saying he has a gift. You need to be flogged and slapped. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, what is my role in Bible study? Matthew chapter 19. I will round off from here. Just as we're done reading it, we'll just round off. We'll continue from next week. Matthew 19, verses 4. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? They asked him a question. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife by strife for any just reason? And he said, have you not read? He who created them at the beginning made them male and female.
We looked at this yesterday when we discussed promised land.
But we'll go over it again next week. Hallelujah. But he used that word, have you not read? That word read is the Greek word anagnosko.
Anagnosko. It's the compound of ana and gnosko. Ana means to go over it again, to look at it again. Gnosko is the word used for study. So when Jesus asked the told the Pharisees, have you not read? Remember, he was talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees are those who are custodians of the Torah. As a Pharisee, you can quote the five books of Moses without blinking. You will not miss one word. You will not miss comma or first of all. You are taught to know the five books of Moses by heart. Genesis 1, everything to Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you have it. You know it. But these are men that know understand, that know scripture. That know Moses, but yet Jesus said, have you not read? When they quoted to him, they quoted Deuteronomy to him. But he took them back to Genesis 1 and 2. Said, have you not read? He that made them at the beginning made them male and female. And he took their attention back to Genesis chapter 2. I mean Genesis 1, verse 26. Salvation. He said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. What is not when what God has joined together, husband and wife. No. What does God join together? The fact that the wedding is done in church does not mean it's God that is joining them. God does not join a man and a woman. Are you hearing me? See, I want to do church wedding so that the presence of God will come. Look at your life. And all this while you've been hearing, you've been singing it, living in me, and the presence of God will come. And what is it? It's living in me. They're just singing it to have a nice time. I want to have a church wedding so that my wedding will be recognized in heaven. You need come. I will get to know who your celebrity is. Definitely, you've not been listening to me. No, Pastor Wisdom. Like I know what Pastor Wisdom will do. So you cannot be listening to your pastors and be saying, it's living in me. You're singing it's living in me, and you're saying, I want to do church for the snap, my wedding will be registered in heaven. None. God does not have work to do to be registering wedding in heaven. You think now. Wedding. This is not done by God. The father and man who are white. And John, you may kiss the bride in church, in the presence of people. Does not mean it's God that joins you. Did you get that? What does God join together? Paul shows what he said, he that is joined to an harlot is one body. He that is joined to the Lord. So what God joins together is man and himself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the real marriage. So the physical marriage is an eupodegma. You understand me? It's a shadow. It points to the real marriage. To the real marriage, which is what Christ and the church. Did you follow me? Are you following me? It points to Christ. So the physical marriage is not God's joining. No. So what did Jesus do? Jesus, while they were talking about divorce and marriage, Jesus pointed their attention to the remarriage, Christ and the church. Then he now told them, I guess that should be verse 8-9. He now said, Moses suffered you to give a divorce notice because of the hardness of your heart, because of your unbelief. What has Jesus done? Jesus has now read from them Genesis into Deuteronomy. And I'm telling you, the reason why Moses told you that is because of your unbelief of what? Genesis chapter 1. Did you see that? Because of what? Your unbelief of Genesis 1 and 2. But why did he do this? So, what has Jesus done? He has told them that anagnosko, even if they know scriptures, but he said anagnosko cannot be complete. You cannot be called anagnosko when everything is not read together.
So when you call it anagino school, you have to read everything together, thoroughly, again and again. So anagino school means reading it again and again together. So scriptures should be read together. Pastor Shepherd will say, it is, oh, you cannot know God outside systematic study of the scriptures. You know, we just did a study the last time, and we discovered that God is not the one that killed the children in Egypt, right? Did we do that study? We saw that God was not the one that hardened the heart of Pharaoh. How did we get to do that? Anagenos, the careful study of your scriptures. Was that what we did? And we saw that God didn't harden Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's hardening of heart was what unbelief to the gospel preached by Moses to him. Did you get that? It's unbelief to the gospel. So God didn't harden Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh didn't just receive the message from Moses. That is the hardening of the heart. And that is the wrath of God. It's called the wrath of God because what? He did not receive the message. So a man without Christ is actually the wrath of God. Do you get that? That's the wrath of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So it should be read together. Scripture should be read together. And that is what this series or this teaching is going to help us do. We're going to always look at this once every year. Look at this same kind, this study, studying along this line once every year, so that it will. Let me use this word, revamp. Is this not what correct? I've never checked it out. Okay. That it will get our eyes on the ball as regards Bible study. Never to forget that Bible study is very important for the believers. Hallelujah. We get to look at it along this line once every year about our devotion in Christianity. And Bible study is one of these. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So we read the whole thing together because that is how we come to know God. You cannot know God outside the systematic study of the scriptures. We'll continue next week. Have you learned something today?
Yes. Yeah.